From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And we do that by sharing stories of winning, by helping people connect to this community, and by building the Backyard Advantage, which is the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs. And it's based around this culture of love, helping one another to achieve, and we are getting started. And today is going to be a fun show because we're going to be talking about Yolo County. This is, I think, number three or four in a series where we're working on explaining to our Sacramentans, our fellow Sacramentans, what is so great about our region. And today's focus is going to be around Yolo County. And so I have two people in here that have a great understanding of why Yolo is so important and so valuable to the overarching region. I've got Vicky Fernandez. She is Woodlands City Council member. And I have Beth Broom. She is senior advisor to the provost of UC Davis STEM Strategies at UC Davis. Now, that is a mouthful, Beth. You have a long title.
I know.
Did you ask for that?
No. No, it was given to me.
Okay, so I want to talk to both of you. Maybe we'll just start off by maybe getting a little bit of your background and how you ended up in the position that you are in and how that fits into the overarching region. I guess that's a lot.
Well, my background's in education and workforce development. And at the end of the day, that's what STEM is, right? It's a global competitive need for the United States to have more STEM graduates and STEM literate citizens. And so we moved up here, my husband and I, almost 10 years ago now. And through the course of that, I met the then chancellor, Linda Katehi, at UC Davis. And this was kind of her idea, which was, she wanted me to help her prove that we're not going to sacrifice quality for access because we're a land-grant university. So she really wanted to diversify, bring in first-gen students that are historically underrepresented or marginalized. And then what my role was is to help amplify the student success. So when they leave UC Davis, they leave with either a career or a grad school placement that is equivalent to the credential they just got. So that's kind of my background.
So that's what got you here. And obviously UC Davis is a gem within Yolo County. So we'll get into that in a minute. But first, let's go to Vicky and just, maybe get a little bit of your background. You're a longtime Woodland resident. So maybe give us, how did you get to city council? What's your background?
Well, my background is also in education. I was a teacher. I retired in 2018. I spent 20 years as a kindergarten teacher. So my passion for energetic and lively individuals is my passion to see them succeed and love school and want to succeed in life. So that's where my background is in education. I am a Woodland native. My parents came to Woodland in the 1940s. My mother was a migrant farm worker in the Midwest, was born in Nebraska. My father was born actually in the Imperial Valley and then left with his family in 1931 back to Mexico and then returned in 1945 or so to the area. And they all worked in agriculture. So my mother and father were farm workers and were very socially activists in our community and wanted to make a positive change in our community. I attended local schools. I went to Holy Rosary and Bishop Minogue High School in Sacramento and raised a family, met my husband at Sac State. I am a Sac State Hornet graduate and began teaching and then had a family and continue to raise a wonderful family in a community that I love and that I feel very proud of. I think it's a great place to raise a family. And my son actually was on the city council before I was. In 2016, he graduated from UC Berkeley, went to UCD King Hall, and graduated in 2016 and ran also for city council. So he was kind of the impetus. When he left his position in 2020, he thought I would make a great representative of our community, and I denied it. So, and had other community members who kind of tried to encourage me to run. So I have really enjoyed it. I think it provides us an opportunity to be a voice for the voiceless and to advocate for a different perspective. I think the diversity of our community is wonderful. And I think that we have a lot of beautiful resources, the people that are there and the businesses and partnerships that are created with our schools and our city government, I think are an important part of what Woodland can be and will be. So I'm very excited to be here and to be on the council to represent the residents that I have grown to be a part of, the working families of Woodland. So
I love that. You know, the most valuable thing that I think, maybe sometimes we overlook this at times, is the most valuable resource that we have is the people. The people that live in our communities are so valuable, and to recognize that and to respect that, I think, is huge. You mentioned diversity. Maybe I'll throw this at both of you. Maybe we'll start with you, Vicki. Is the diversity among, if we look at the county as a whole, we've got certain cities that sort of represent the landmarks. We've Davis, Woodland, what are there? Winters?
West Sac.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, West Sac. I didn't mean to forget you. And there may be others that I may be forgetting. So you two are the experts in YOLO, but what describe the diversity that exists overarching in the YOLO County? Maybe we'll start with you, Vicki, on
that.
Well,
I think YOLO County has about 220,000 people, okay, the population of 220,000. Of that, I'd say about 40% of those are Hispanic or have Hispanic heritage.
Oh, in YOLO, there's that high of a percentage of Hispanic. Okay.
Well, maybe 35, you know, but close to 40, I would think. Mm-hmm. We represent everywhere from a smaller rural communities, Knights Landing, YOLO, Clarksburg. We all come all the way down to the River Delta. I think it's a very large and diverse county, and I think you've heard that YOLO, you only live once, and I think that YOLO County is reflected.
I wondered what YOLO stand for. I thought maybe it was some Native American name or something.
It has a different meaning, but it's one of those sayings that I think fits perfectly into our community, into YOLO County, that we have a diverse population. We have, as you stated, UC Davis. We have Woodland Community College, and we encompass a large agricultural community. I think a lot of the opportunities are in the ag field. There are close to 200 businesses related to ag and technology with agricultural businesses. We have a tremendous amount of industry that we have in Woodland, a large population of industrial warehouses. West Sac is part of YOLO County, which we now have the Sac yes. River Cats, and now we have the Oakland A's.
We've got the Oakland A's now. Yes, I forgot about that.
So
for a second.
We have a lot to offer. I think that's the exciting thing about YOLO County. We have a very diverse community. It's pretty widespread. I think a lot of that is surrounded by agricultural fields, though. Mm-hmm. And so we provide not only products for our communities, but I think we have a global impact. It's the products that come out of YOLO County feed the world. So I think that is one of our important roles, is to impact not only the United States, but we have a global market that is very impressive.
Absolutely. So let's stay on this topic a little bit. When we think about the people of YOLO County, Davis, West Sac, and Woodland tend to make up probably a lot of that 200 plus thousand. Sure. How would we contrast the different, the diversity among people in those different geographies? Because Davis, when I think of Davis, I sort of have one, I'll call it a stereotype in my mind. And West Sac is different, and Woodland's way different. So how would you, I guess, separate those three?
So West Sac, you know, people live in West Sac but work in Sacramento, or live in West Sac and come out toward Davis and Woodland, right? So it's a little bit of a mix. It really bridges the two counties. At Davis, you know, I think you have to count the students in the population. We have over 40,000 students, right? Mm. And so of those, over 80% come from California, but all over California. This year, we are just shy of what's called a Hispanic serving institution. So you have to have 25% of your incoming class be of Hispanic descent. We're at 24 and change, right?
What's the predominant? So my daughter went to UC Davis, and I saw a lot of people riding their bike, number one. That was the thing that leaped out at me. Yeah. And it was, it seemed to be from just a, like a viewpoint, without any stats, a lot of had heavy Asian. Is that true or no? Is that still the case? That was a while back.
Yeah. So Asian population is big at UC Davis, and then a small international population, but still significant to the mission of the university. And then obviously, you know, Black, Native, Caucasian. So it's a nice mix. We'd like to increase our numbers in a couple of areas, and we're really working to do that. Because you look at the social and generational impact, right, of social capital, somebody getting a degree and what that does for the family and the community, right? Mm-hmm. So that's really important. So Davis, you're going to have a lot of professors that live there, right? But you also have a number of folks that are in the agricultural community who live there. And then Woodland, I would say a lot of it is agricultural, but there's so much building out there right now. I know a lot of our faculty and deans have landed in Woodland because Davis is really hard to get into housing there. It's one
In terms of like prices of houses, we look at Woodland is probably on the more affordable side compared to West Sac or Davis. Davis is the most expensive.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
It's got a different kind of quality of life. I'm not saying it's better or worse, but it's different.
Right. They say it's California's college town, right?
Yeah. It's kind of a college town.
And we're doing a lot with housing, right? Because housing is a basic right for students. Along with food and medical care and such. But we have some tremendous housing being built over in our West Village. So anything from dorms to apartments to single family homes for faculty to move into. And it's a pretty amazing thing. And a lot of the living learning type communities, which is significant for students.
Okay. So in terms of quality of life, as a resident, talk to me about like, why is it such a great place to live? Obviously we want people come out of UC Davis. We would love to have them stay in UC Davis. Yeah. When people grow up in Woodland, we want them to stay like you did. Why is it such a cool place to live? I guess let's use maybe the YOLO overall, but maybe your specific communities as well.
I think Woodland has a lot to offer. I think it's a very safe community. I think our background, maybe of being a sleepy rural community, I think has maybe left. I think we have a population of about 60,000 residents. And we are providing access to education not only at UC Davis, but Woodland Community College. I think that's a hidden gem that it allows people an opportunity to go to school locally. Mm-hmm. The city of Woodland has invested in the Promise Program to provide support, financial support to students. So any student who graduates from the city of Woodland has access to financial support of $1,000 scholarship and grant. Mm-hmm. So I think our community, I think, wants to invest in the future of our residents and wants them to have access not only to UC Davis, but for those who may have a need, there's our community college. And I think that our future is also in the innovation that businesses are bringing to our region, not only in ag, but I think in the food industry. And which I guess food is part of the ag industry, but I think that there's a lot of innovation. We have the lab at AgStart where you have entrepreneurs who are developing ideas and maybe part of the UC Davis system who have found a place where they can use the facility in Woodland for research and hopefully... unfortunately, we don't have the space for many more... industries, but I think we're limited in space. The lab itself has expanded. It's I'm not sure what the square footage of, but they they have entire
floor. Are you talking about AgStart?
The lab at AgStart, right.
Yeah, it's expanded. I've been out there. John Sellup is a friend of ours. Right. And so I've been out there and visited and some impressive stuff. Yeah. But one of the things I'm curious about is the longer term vision. I mentioned earlier in our audience probably doesn't know this. Mm-hmm. I used to own a bunch of video stores. One of them was in Woodland. We talked about being right next to Hollywood and across from Blockbuster and Mr. Video. It was a great place to grow a video store. Like it was one of our better stores. Scott worked out there, my main man over here at one time. And so it was a great place then, but it's grown a lot. Yeah. But I have to wonder, you mentioned limited space. I didn't realize that. What's the vision for Woodland if you have such limited space?
Well, I think the goal and the vision is to expand. We have the Woodland Research and Tech Park that will be coming soon. Again, it's over, I believe, 350 acres of land that the vision is to have it provide a place for people to work, live, and enjoy. And we, again, are promoting the sustainability within the region. I think that that's one of the important features of the research park. And to encourage investors and businesses to come into the region, you're close to the ag industry, you're close to UC Davis, and to promote that innovation and provide space for those companies or businesses to expand and grow, to have housing that would allow people to visit, and we would, again, support a sustainable environment. I think that that is the goal of the regional park, to have zero green gas emissions by 2035. So I think the vision for the community is to have an interconnected community that would be able to commute and use active transportation. I think we want to realize the impact that we have on our environment. I think that we want to promote a community that would allow people to have other avenues to get around. We have the new Beeline service, which allows people to have an kind of like an online individual plan where they can access transportation and again helping our environment. So I think that that would be the ultimate goal, is to see that research park develop. We have several businesses that I think have been committed to Woodland, and those businesses are there, I think, to stay. So that's we can encourage others to come.
So ag tech is a key component of Woodland and its longer term vision. And Beth, and I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that your husband is Barry Broom, who oversees economic development for the entire Sacramento region through an organization that he helped launch, basically, GSEC, the Greater Sacramento Economic Council. So he is gifted on speaking about these issues as anybody I've ever met in my life, but he's also a part of making all this stuff happen, right? He's at the leadership. So you are in and around, what's going on in Placer County, what's going on in Folsom, what's going on in obviously Woodland. But in terms of YOLO, Davis and Woodland and West Sac and in Winters and the different communities there, talk to me about the collaboration that exists and needs to exist in order to help us with our full potential.
Okay, absolutely. So one, you start with the school districts, right? So we have students in the school districts who are tutoring, helping students. We do a lot of bringing them onto campus, getting them in that kind of college-going mindset. Woodland Community College is amazing. We partner with them on a number of things. They also house the California Tribal College, which is really important to be able to reach out to the Native community, which is really underrepresented in higher ed nationally. And then on campus, we have Sac City, Davis.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So we have
Sac City. That's a community college that has a representation on UC Davis campus?
Yes, okay. In our West Village. So they have two beautiful buildings out there that are, great lab space for the students, and it's terrific. So when you start with education, but then core to our mission is really innovation, right? And you don't do that in a vacuum. You have to rely on all your partners. So you look at what your core assets are. Ag is a big one, and ag is going all ag tech. I mean, so it's, how you grow up more crops using less water on a smaller plot of land, right? Then you technology is driving everything. So we have amazing world-class faculty. And you look at AgStart and the Woodland Research Park and even in Mintopia in Davis, which houses a lot of our, you know, one of our growth factory.
Yes,
one of our growth factory from UC Davis, Rivada is there.
And right? I've got a company personally that's at AgStart, one or two at least.
Yeah.
So those
are so successful because they're companies that want to locate near UC Davis because of the research going on and the cutting edge innovation, right? So we are really working to expand that and strategize on how we make leave a little larger footprint in the region. Our chancellor, Gary May, just hired the first ever chief of innovation and economic development for the university, a key position. And that will really leverage all of the activity at Aggie Square and the activity out in Yolo County, which will be really important. We have a new vice chancellor of research, our former vice chancellor, retired maybe, I don't know, COVID-ish time. But he's doing a great job and really looking at what are the core strengths of the counties around us, not just Yolo, and how do we make sure we are meeting the needs of intended workforce, right? And that's where Barry and I have overlap in our jobs, which is kind of
interesting. You guys ever disagree and go ahead? You guys ever butt heads on stuff?
Oh, yeah. You've met Barry.
I know both of you.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, we do. But that's it's funny. Interesting. You know, and his perspective is often so refreshing and educational to me, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like for me to do what I do, I have to be a scholar not only of the STEM kind of education component, but also the workforce component, right? What do we need within this region? And are we preparing the next generation of leaders to go out and launch that, right? And so Barry helps me be a student on both ends, which is good.
That's great. Yeah. So we talked about ag tech, and I know that UC Davis is big on biotech. Yeah. Can you maybe give me a more life sciences?
Life sciences.
So yeah, what are the other, I guess, pillars in terms of technology?
Yeah, so right now we have a new center. It's the Center for Alternative Meats and Proteins, which is a biotech infused with ag. And the goal of that is to be able to meet the global food supply by 2050 using alternative meats and proteins. Fascinating work being done there. And all very sustainable, environmental impact is measured, all of that. So we have a lot of interdisciplinary, right? The life sciences, you know, that's a core competency of UC Davis. One, I think that can get overlooked because of the reputation in wine and ag, but enormous.
When you say life sciences, just for our audience, what kinds of things are life sciences? Is that alive?
Yeah, therapeutics, right? Cellular therapeutics, leading to medicine, drug discovery, prosthetics, surgical techniques, any of that. We have a genome center that is world-renowned. We have the College of Biological Sciences. So we're one of the few universities that actually has a dedicated college for biological sciences. And included in that, you have things like global disease biology, which is important, and that's an ag biology kind of component. So think capturing viruses and kind of preparing for what the next pandemic may look like, right? We have the Grand Challenges offices that is also working on that. Vet med, you know, the impetus of all human health discovery is ag or vet med. And we're first in the nation in both, second in the world in vet med, and pretty far up there in ag. I don't know what the number is any longer, but maybe two or three. But yeah, so when you have the nexus of human health, vet med, and agriculture, you can then go on to solve some of the greatest problems that we have and really impact things like health from multiple fronts, not just it's preventative more so than kind of an acute approach to health.
Yeah. And Vicky mentioned that companies are recognizing what's going on in Yolo County, so they tend to relocate here or expand here. Yeah. And I have to imagine that people come in from around the world to attend UC Davis, to be a UC Davis student, and then they stick. So when we recruit some of these people in here, when we have these magnets that have a presence here, These highly qualified people come and then they stick, and that makes us a lot more valuable.
Yes, it does. So the diversity of thought is really important, right? Because you need to have multiple perspectives if you're trying to solve a challenge, a problem. The other thing that it does is allow us to leverage maybe the knowledge that these folks bring with them, right? Which is really important. The medical school, the nursing school, the law school, the graduate school of business, the vet school, the wine school, tons of international kind of folks that'll come for certificates or doctoral degrees or postdocs, depending upon what it is. We're, you know, first in the nation in coffee technologies post-harvest. We have a big tea center. So we really focus on all types of food and beverage, but also then you have the medical front. So it's a nice interdisciplinary infusion of talent.
Okay, so help me think about West Sac a little bit too. You mentioned the A's and the River Cats, and I think there's a Drake's there. I'm trying to think of the things I love about West Sac. They've got a lot of warehousing. They've got that great
riverfront,
that's got all kinds of potential. Talk to me about that a little bit, since we don't have anybody here from West Sac representing them. Which one of you feels most confident in talking about like the beauty of West Sac?
Yeah. Well, I know a few things I can mention. So we've done a lot of work with their schools through our School of Education. Christopher Cabaldon was a longtime mayor there and just did amazing things to propel that forward. There were some companies that have now moved into kind of the Ag Start, but like Bayer Crop Science was there. So you're going to see more of that going into West Sac. Also, I would say the thing that you have is a lot of new housing, which is great, right? So you have the little innovation district around the barn that Mark Friedman built, and then now the hotel's going in and such. But big housing developments, and they're a nice price point.
Yeah, we need that. It's cheaper than, so it's not quite in the heart of Sacramento, but it's a hop, skip, and a jump.
Absolutely.
It's a hop, skip, and a jump to Davis.
Yes.
So I like the proximity of West Sac a lot.
Right.
And it seems, I mean, when I go in there, I guess I'm in sort of one zone a little bit, but it's fun. There's emerging entertainment and that kind of thing there.
Yes. Yeah. And so you probably know more about it than me.
Well, I would just like to acknowledge the current mayor, Martha Guerrero, and she has a council.
Sorry, Martha, we should have got you on the show. My bad.
Martha I believe it's a council with all females.
Yeah.
All female council.
What?
Yes.
Yeah. They don't like guys there, huh?
Dr. Dante Early is on their council. Kadena Orozco.
Sounds like a really smart council.
Yeah. They get a lot done.
Productive.
Norm Alcala. So I think I covered, and I believe is that five? But so they're doing great work, and I think that they're advocating for their region. A lot of, as you said, businesses that are coming in for that area. And again, to bring us back to diversity, I think we have segments of West Sac that were probably underserved, and I think that their focus is in providing services to the entire community and bringing opportunities. I think that's the exciting thing about the A's coming. Hopefully it will bring an opportunity for the residents.
Get some attention to Sacramento, number one. At least get some eyeballs here.
Some national attention, which is amazing. Right.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. Incredible. Let's talk a little bit about, I don't like focusing on problems too much, but obviously we have obstacles in our way, no matter what we're doing in life, but certainly a county like Yolo faces some hurdles to, unleash its vision and, unleash its full potential. When I think about agriculture, I know you got to water the stuff, right? So what other, is that a big hurdle for us, is making sure that we have enough water and access to water?
Well, I think for the entire state of California, water is, as there is a saying, water is life. So I think that how to address the issues of flooding is a crucial problem for Yolo.
Oh, flooding.
For Yolo County in general. I think the Central Valley has to address how we deal with our water resources.
What do you mean by flooding? So it rains really hard and we're not capturing the water?
Well, in some areas we're not. And I think that is an issue throughout California, is how do we capture that water so that it protects communities.
So that we can send it to Southern California?
Well, or that we can protect our communities so that we aren't having to deal with flooding. I know you, yeah. you talked about flooding.
I say all this jokingly. I love right. my community. So
I think it's an issue. We have the Davis Water Clean Water Agency, which has some of the finest water in the region. We've invested a lot of millions of dollars into that project in the past, and our residents are having some of the best water. We process the river water, Sacramento River water, and bring that into our communities in amazing technology that provides
using technology. That's phenomenal.
I think that we have aquifers, underground storage. I think having the ability to store water and to be able to use it, I think is crucial to our area. And whether it's in agriculture or just for our consumption, I think we have to be aware of how we focus our energies on providing or addressing the issues for our communities. I think we have to.
So one thing, I pulled up my phone because I don't want to get these wrong, but a really interesting partnership between UC Davis, Yolo County, and the city of Davis. It's called Hate Free Together.
Hate Free
Together. Yeah. So you talk about problems, right? We're in a really tense environment right now with political discourse being ugly, wars being ugly, and people get really passionate and emotional about it, right? So this is designed to condemn hate, create safety, and cultivate change. And it's a really cool social innovation that also gives our students an outlet for their fears and frustrations and anger, right? So that's a really cool social innovation.
You feel like there's more fear, or you said fear, frustration, and anger.
Yeah.
Is there more frustration and anger than there is fear, or is it sort of is the fear drive some of that frustration and anger? Yeah. It's like we that's how we kind of act out when we're afraid, is we
I think it's the fear driving some of the anger and frustration, and just kind of the level of discourse is ramped up, and it hits more on the vitriol side instead of the reasonable minds differ side, right? And so at the university, where all opinions are welcome and freedom of speech is a huge, huge deal, if you're on the receiving end of something, it can be very difficult. So what this does is provide a platform for learning how to do that for not only the students, but the county.
How to communicate with each other more productively. What a concept.
Yes, that's right.
That's awesome.
So we're, you know, we do have, like any county, we have problems in Yolo County. But this is an initiative designed to help that. And I think water's a big one. And then I would say cost of housing. So there's expansion. Yes, yeah, much expansion in Woodland.
And I think
but
food insecurity is an issue that we need to address. And unfortunately, Yolo County is 58 out of 58 counties as far as it comes to poverty. So I think that is crucial. Our economic development is crucial to change the outlook for our communities, and so that we don't have students, whether they're at UC Davis or anywhere in our county, struggling with where their next meal comes from. Because we know that food is
it's a basic right and a basic need
that we have to address. And there are a lot of organizations, nonprofits that are working endlessly to make sure that they're providing support. But again, we're not reaching everyone. And I think that is one of the problems, that we are a rich community of agriculture, and yet we have an issue of people.
Food insecurity.
Food insecurity. So, and I want to acknowledge the Yolo County Board of Supervisors, who are working endlessly and investing endlessly amounts of finances to support Yolo County and to look at those issues and address them. So I think that...
And we have a contract with the Yolo County Food Bank for our student pantry, but that's open to any resident as well. So we move about 600 pounds of food a day through that. And in addition to that, we have something called Aggie Eats. So on campus, it's over 5,000 acres, right? So we have food trucks dispersed around campus for, you know, access by any kind of corner that you're at. We have Aggie Eats, which is our own food truck, which does 600 meals a day. And you show your student ID and you get a free meal, no questions asked. So that students are properly fed, at least the best, to the best of our ability. But the Yolo County Food Bank has been wonderful to work with.
I think just a great partnership. Their informational insecurity in Yolo County, when they said they moved 10 million pounds of food, distributed 10 million pounds of food to the residents of Yolo County. So they are making a great impact in Yolo County. And I want to acknowledge, as you said, the Yolo Food Bank makes a big difference in the lives of those residents who are in need.
Vicki, you mentioned Cap to Cap as we got acquainted in the lobby prior. Cap to Cap for our audience is a trip to Washington, D.C., where Sacramento leadership gets together in a big group. I don't know if there's hundreds of you going down.
400
going to Washington, converging on Washington, D.C. I kind of feel sorry for Washington, D.C. Got all these California people coming in from Sacramento, from the Capitol. But why do we do that, and how important is that to helping our region?
Well, I think, as Beth said earlier, it's about collaboration. And it takes more than a village to make a difference on the lives of our communities. So having 400 delegates visiting our capital and advocating for our region is crucial, and promoting the resources of the greater Sacramento region, I think, are important, because that economic development, that financial investment that the federal government makes within our communities is important. So if we talk about food insecurity, expanding the expansion of those resources for mm-hmm. residents so that they have access. Some of the issues that we addressed during COVID, some of those programs are being cut back. So the importance of those programs to continue to support families, because we haven't totally recovered. And mm-hmm. there are families that are still struggling. I think affordable housing is an issue that we struggle with. But I think Cap to Cap allows us to focus on those resources within the Sacramento region and to advocate for continued investments in our region. And I believe that our congressmen and legislators have the ability to listen and to hopefully focus on workforce development, education, our flood issues, our ag and food and ag industry, and look at all those resources that need their support and investment, from technology to...
Yeah, well, unity is such an important asset for any family, any organization, any community, and to see Sacramento leadership coming together to work on something together, even though we come from potentially different parts of the sides of the aisle, different priorities in our, you know, in our constituencies, but what do we all agree on? And it sounds like we all agree on technology and entrepreneurship is an important piece of what we need to work on, and what maybe the federal government should be thinking in terms of investment back into our community. If we can invest into these entrepreneurial thinking minds mm-hmm. and opportunities, you know, that helps everybody. I mean, that's where I feel like that's where it all begins. Entrepreneurs tend to solve the world's biggest problems if, you know, we can work together.
Right. Well, I just want to mention that it is. That's the valuable thing of the Sac Metro Chamber of Commerce Cap to Cap. It brings so many diverse individuals, not only elected leaders, but business, as you said, businesses, entrepreneurs. And I think that brings all parties, the educational system. It brings representatives from all our community colleges, our local resources that I keep saying are so important. But to bring all these individuals together from various interests and to maybe see things from a different perspective and to mm-hmm. advocate for those, I think.
Are you going to Cap this year?
No,
Beth, you're not going.
I've never been. Our government affairs and public relations, they do all that. Yeah, community relations, yeah.
Okay, so what did I not ask you? I feel like we didn't give West Sac and maybe some of the other areas of Yolo enough love. So I want to, if there's anything else we need to say in and around them that just is a total, like we left it out, please help me with that. And then also, what did I not ask you as we start thinking about, you know, Yolo and wrapping up today's show? I want to make sure that I, you know, didn't drop the ball too bad in any certain area.
Well, let's see. I think, you know, wine is central to the region, right? And Clarksburg winters, really important driver of the economy there. And then, of course, we have the wine school, which is great. Mm-hmm. We also have a craft brewery school, which a lot of people may not realize. But yeah.
So thinking about the wine, the, is there like a wine tour out there in Clarksburg area? Or is there a, what wineries are out there?
Well, I know, I think so, there's a sugar mill.
The old sugar mill has like 10 or 12 in there.
Oh, that's right.
But then Bogle's there and there's others around, right?
That's right, yeah.
And then Winters has a few as well.
Cache Creek is in out
Cache
there
Creek,
too.
Cache Creek is.
Do you have any other Native American casinos out there? I know Cache Creek is a
very philanthropic organization that has made a great impact on the rural parts of Yolo County. So Brooks, Gwinda, the Capay Valley, they really invest in the community. They just invested in a health center that is located in Esparto. They have a community pool that they have invested in. So they are great collaborators within the region. And I think I thank you for bringing them up because they are very important to our area. And they have invested quite a bit into our communities to make an impact. I also want to acknowledge our Yolo County Superintendent, Garth Lewis, who has a roadmap to the future, which talks about our communities from birth to career and how I think all that plays into it. How can we prepare our communities for those possibilities of entrepreneurship or success in their careers as students or as business owners or in their life. So I want to acknowledge the Roadmap to the Future as kind of taking all these different resources and helping guide students through.
That's the superintendent of
Yolo
the county.
County.
What's the person's name?
Garth Lewis.
Okay, is that a guy?
Yes.
So the women hired a guy.
He's elected.
West Sack.
West Sack's all women. That's right. Yeah, I forgot. I was Yolo supervisor. Okay. Yeah. I guess I better bone up on my civic leadership here a little bit.
And the Center for Land-Based Learning is another important part of Yolo County. And again, a lot of UC research Davis. And innovation that's going on at the Center for Land-Based Learning.
And I think there's just this constant, you know, how do we preserve the integrity of the culture, particularly the ag culture, but infuse growth into it, right? Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to start to lose your agricultural land. Yeah. You know, the rice crop is so important, everything, the tomatoes, everything else that's growing out there, the almonds, you can't lose that. So what do you do with the growth? So there's a lot of innovation and managed growth there.
Yeah. And I think probably all our communities focus on having events that promote those resources. Yes. We have a honey festival in May that's coming up. We have
Is that in Woodland?
In Woodland. We have a farm workers festival. And
So you come out to the honey festival and I guess buy some honey.
Right. You'll have different vendors out there promoting.
So that's coming
but not
up
just
in May.
Honey. There's also products, right?
Yeah, products. Like,
Crafts, like lip balm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So
lotions.
Right.
Yeah.
But the focus
soaps,
is on.
Yeah. All that's made out of honey.
And I think UC Davis has the, is it apiary or the hives that they put out for this,
the bees.
Beehives. Yeah. And so, again, a lot of different events that we're using to promote our communities and have people come and visit. And hopefully they'll like it and feel comfortable enough to stay and live in our community, which I think is a very safe and welcoming environment.
And the sunflowers are another big one.
Oh, the sunflowers, yeah.
Have you ever done that? Gone out to the sunflower fields?
I have not.
You need to take Stacy. It's beautiful. As far as you can see, sunflowers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
I know she's been out to Bogle Wine without me a few times. I know that. Well, thank you, too, for obviously your leadership, for sharing what's great about Yolo with our audience and really inviting us in to imagine how we might fit into the Yolo vision, because I think that's it for a lot of us is just seeing ourselves in the vision, in the opportunity, and it's what makes, I think it's what makes this such a great region is for us to be inviting one another into our regions so that we can make the most for all of us. So thank you very much for your leadership.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well,
for
thank you.
Us on.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you. And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at the Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.